Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Ches. Today we are centered around eight questions that Rav Papa asks. Most of them end up with the teiku. Six out of the eight end up with the teiku, but Rav Papa has lots of questions relating to the chafina, meaning the we already said the Kohen Gadol has to take melo chafna of ketores, two handfuls of ketores at the same time. So all of these questions, most of these questions, I should say, relate to the chafina. The Gemara Rav Papa is going to raise sfeikos as to different ways of doing Kamitza and doing the chafina, meaning positioning our hands in different ways. He's going to have shailas about placing the komets in a kli when you do kamitza of a karban mincha, and then you have to place the komets in a kli. He's going to have shaila about the size of melo chafnav. Should it be heaping melo chafnav or less than a heaping melo chafnav? If the ketores falls out of his hands, is it still kosher? That's another shaila that he raises. He has shailas about machsheves psul during chafina, during chatias kechalim. Is the person has a machsheva to do something chutz l'zmano during any of those avodos, does that go into pasul? And then finally on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to raise a shayla, not from Rav Papa, but a different shayla that the Gemara just asks from Rav Sheshes about halacha b'smol, nothing to do with chafina. Stam, a person brings the dam of a karban to the mizbeach, carrying it in his left hand. Is that going to be problematic? Because we know certain avodos must be done in the right hand, yet we know by the ketores, the Kohen Gadol brings the kaf, the ladle full of the ketores in his left hand. So the Gemara is going to raise the shaila about halachas hadam in the left hand. So it's a whole bunch of shailas in today's daf, all sorts of questions, most of them ending with a teiku. We left off at the two dots right after the parentheses where it has a simen for the entire upcoming sugya that we're going to learn today about all the different shailas. It has a simen beina binayim pasha machat supazar v'chasha v'chafinas chavero simen. That's a simen for all the different shailas that Rav Papa asks. So says the Gemara by Rav Papa, Rav Papa's first shaila. What about the ketores that's stuck in between his fingers or in between his hands when he takes melo chafnav? Is that going to be, is that valid ketores, or do we view that like the shirayim of the ketores that's left in the shovel after he already took melo chafnav? So what's the din? So well, we just finished yesterday discussing the issue of beina binayim of a kmitza, when a person takes a kometz of a karban mincha and there's flour stuck between his fingers, so we already discussed that issue. So shouldn't we assume, if you learn from Melo Melo, that just like it says Melo Chafnav by Ketores, it also has the word Melo by the Kemitza, so it should be the same din as by Kemitza? Why would we have to raise a new Shaila? So Rav Papa Hachi Bailei, Melo Chafnav Vehevi Be'inan Vayika Odum of Alakach Vehevi Be'inan Vahaleka. Rav Papa's Shaila was that how do we learn Melo Chafnav, that by the pasuk where it describes Melo Chafnav, so should we say Melo Chafnav Vehevi, that as long as whatever you are bringing, you're bringing, and this you're bringing with you because it's stuck in between your fingers, and therefore it's fine? Or maybe V'lakach Vehevi. V'lakach implies that you're doing it on purpose, that you're specifically taking this item. That which gets stuck between your fingers, that which gets stuck between your hands, is not L'kicha. L'kicha always means B'kavana. The Netziv writes in the Tshuva that you see from here, that whenever we have a din of L'kicha, L'kicha has to mean B'kavana. Even if you generally hold mitzvah Sein Shrichas Kavana, or generally things that don't require Kavana, you always need Kavanas L'kicha. L'kicha means purposeful lakicha. So over here, v'aleka, you don't have a purposeful lakicha of that which is taken in between your hands. So teiku, the Gemara leaves this one as a teiku. So the Achronim say so that since the Gemara leaves it as a teiku, as a safek, well, just like by kamitza, we required kohanim shmenim to avoid the safek entirely. We said that it's better to use fatter kohanim who have fatter fingers at least, to avoid the safek entirely. So the same is true maybe by minui kohanim gedolim, that the kohen gadol is going to have to take melacha. So maybe that should be consideration by the Minoy Kohanim Gedolim. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, that's how Rabbi Pesach Frank writes in Hartzvi, that maybe we should have the same consideration. However, the Netziv in Merom Esadda says that this Safek is only within Rabbi Yeshua ben Elza'a, but the Chacham Marcholik, their Machshir Kmitza or chafina, however the Kohen wants to do it, with whether he wants to hold his fingers tight or loose or more loosely, and anything that's nichnas bein abinayim is considered part of the kmitza according to the shita of the Rabbanan. It was Rabbi Yeshua ben Oza'a that we raised the shaila according to yesterday. That's how the Netziv wants to suggest in Merom Esadda. Okay, so now the Gemara says Vayter in terms of the method of taking the kmitza by the Korban Mincha. So Amar Rav Papa, Pshitali Melo Kamtso Kedikamtsi Inchi. Clearly when we say Melo Kamtso, Kedikamtsi Inchi is perfectly fine. What's Kedikamtsi Inchi? Person goes with three fingers, puts the side of his hand down like he's doing like a karate chop into the flour, takes three fingers and turns his hand over and picks it up like that. So that's clearly the way the Kedikamtsi Inchi, that is clearly fine and that is the appropriate way to do the Kemitza. But by Rav Papa, what if you do the following? What if you do the Kemitza in an unusual way? Kamat barashi etzba'osav mahu. What if a person does a kemitza barashi etzba'osav, which means instead of putting his hand sideways into the flour, he sticks his fingers in with his hand facing down into the flour, sticks his three fingers in and pulls it that way. Or what if a person, so that's one shaila of Rav Papa, barashi etzba'osav, milamata lamala mahu. What if he doesn't milamata lamala, which means instead of his hand facing sideways, or barashi etzba'osav, which would be his hand facing down, he does it with his hand facing up, and he dips his fingers into the flour that way, and picks his hands up in that way. Or minat studin mahu. What if he takes minat studin? So that's a little bit of a more challenging one. What do you mean minat studin? We just said sideways is the way to go. So minat studin means you put your hand facing up, and you let the flour go in between your fingers. Instead of having instead of going sideways and pulling it up like this, you put your hand facing up, and this is different than the milamata lamala, because milamata lamala is with your hand facing up, you grab it. Over here, it's not that you're grabbing it, you're letting the flour just fall between your fingers, go up in between your fingers, and then you hold it. So that's the shayla milamata lamala. I probably would not have figured out, but there are pictures in the back of my Gemara, so there's excellent pictures of milamata lamala, of all these different things. I saw in Daf HaChaim, they also have, in the 5-minute review in Daf HaChaim, they also have pictures of all of these different ways of doing the kemitza. Okay, so what's the halacha in all of these cases? So Gemara says teku. We leave it unresolved. We don't have an answer for that. Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, once we're discussing, not only do we have these shailas about kemitza, we also have these shailas about melo chafnav. So it says, pshitali, melo chafnav kidechafni inchi. Clearly, kidechafni inchi is fine. What's kidechafni inchi? Again, when you take the melo chafnav k'taris, you do two hands. So two hands, where you do side by side, you put them both in the k'taris, and you pull them up like that, where you put the sides of your hand in first, and you pick them up, together. So that clearly is the appropriate way to do the chafina. But by Rav Papa, chafan barashe etzba osav mahu. What if a person does chafina barashe etzba osav, which means he takes both hands and he sticks it in again with his palms down, sticks it in that way and pulls out the hands full that way. So is that a kasher chafina? Or milamata lamala, the Gemara wants to know. Milamata lamala mahu, if he puts his hands with his palms facing up and takes the chafina by going by sticking his fingers in with his palms facing up and pulling out the handfuls that way. So what's the din? Minatsad mahu. What if he does a minatsad? And again, minatsad means he allows the ketores to go between his fingers and then he picks them up. He puts with his palms facing down. The ketores goes up between his fingers and on the sides of his hands and he picks it up that way. So what's the din when he does a minatsad? Chafan bezu bezu v'karvan zu etzalzu mahu. Or what if instead of taking two handfuls at one time, which is the way we're supposed to do, where he puts both hands together, it's like he's putting both the sides of his hands in and he digs his hands in and takes them both together. What if he takes two separate handfuls and then after pulling them out holds his hands together, but he's not taking them at one time by cupping his hands inside the ketores? He's taking two separate handfuls and then he puts them together. So what's the din in that case? So says the Gemara, teku, we leave that as a teku. Now by kamatz barashi etzbaos of mahu, the Tosos points out, lav haynu kamahu dula el yachal afilu barashi etzbaos of dula el haynu she'in lo solas ella barashi etzbaos of. When we say kamatz barashi etzbaos of, that's not the shayla we asked before about Yachla Filu Barashi Etzbosav. Yachla Filu Barashi Etzbosav means that it's only in Rashi Etzbosav, that that's the only place where the flour is. Over here we're talking about a way of taking it, even though the flour may end up in the palm of your hand the same way. It's just a matter of it's a din in the Maisa, not a din in where the flour is actually located. That's what Tosos points out. Chafan Barashi Etzbosav Mahu, Tosos points out, Ein lahakshos kiven dekvari bayilan gabe kemitza my hadar sumi baile b'chatina, haynu hach k'deparach le'el. Now, before, when we spoke about the flower stuck between the fingers and the ketores stuck between the fingers, we were bothered why we asked the same shayla again by ketores that we already asked by the flower. Yet over here, we ask the same series of shaylas about the ma'isa k'mitza, about the ma'isa chatina that we did about the ma'isa k'mitza. Why aren't we bothered why we're asking the same series of shaylas? So v'yeshlomer d'pshita gufa chatina v'k'mitza enam shavu la'adadi. Because it's pashut that the maisa of chafina and the maisa of kmitza are not the same. They're two totally different actions. Kmitza is three fingers full with one hand where you rub off any extras. Chafina is two hands, cup full. So it's clearly that they're not the same. They're two totally separate maises. So whether the derech kmitza is bekach or not, whether milamata lamala and minat stad and all these other things are still considered derech kmitza, that doesn't really tell us whether that's considered derech chafina. Now, previously, we were talking about not whether it's the derech of taking it, we were talking about what's considered inside of your hands and what's considered outside of your hands. So something stuck between your fingers, if it's considered inside of your hands for kmitza, it should be considered inside of your hands for chafina as well. If it's considered outside for kmitza, it should be considered out, because that was the discussion of where the flour is, where the spices are. Are they inside or are they outside? But over here, the shaila is about a maisa. It's not about where the object is. It's about a maisa. So in terms of the maisa, these are two totally separate maisim. One has nothing to do with the other, and that's why these are two separate series of shailos, and we're not bothered by the fact that we're asking both. Okay, so that was those were further bios of Rav Papa and Teku. He leaves all, so far, all first three questions of Rav Papa are all Teku. Again, the first one about the ketores that stuck between your fingers, second one about the Maisa Kmitza, or second series of shailos about a Maisa Kmitza, third series of shailos about a Maisa Chafina, so all of that is Teku. So by Rav Papa, shaila number 4. Davke lekomets bedofne demana mai. What if a person, after he takes the kmitza, this is the way Rashi understands it, that the komets, after you take the kmitza, then needs matan kli. You need to put it into a kli shares. So what if, instead of putting it into the bottom of the kli shares, dumping it in the kli, like you would normally expect someone to put something in the kli, he takes the kmitza and he smushes it up against the wall of the kli, against the side of the kli, from the inside, but against the side of the kli, instead of just putting it into the bottom of the kli. Is that called placing it in the kli sharis, which is going to be makdish to the komets, or not? So, dafke le komets bedofne deman amai. Toch kli be'inan va'ika. Do you just need it to be somewhere inside the kli? And it is somewhere inside the kli. It's up against the wall, but it's somewhere inside the kli, so that's fine. Odilma hanacha betocho kitikno be'inan va'aleka. Or do you need to place it in a normal way inside of the kli? And that you haven't done. It hasn't been placed in a normal way inside of the kli. It's been placed in a very unusual way by mushing it up against the side of the kli. So again, teku. The Gemara leaves this as a teku. So the way I just explained it is the way Rashi understands our Gemara. However, the Rambam Psulei Mekdash in Perikid Aleph Halacha Chafhei says Kamat Min Hadavuk Bedofen Akli. When he discusses this halacha, he discusses if you take the kmitza from that which is attached to the walls of the kli. So he's not understanding that we're talking over here about after you've done the kmitza, where you then put it. He's talking about taking the kmitza in the first place. What if you don't take the kmitza from the bottom of the kli, you take kmitza from that which is attached to the side of the kli? So the Dvar Avram writes that according to Rashi, that says that it's all about where you put the kmitza. So I understand that that the issue of our sugya is about kiddush b'kli, so I understand why you would need kiddush kederach hanacha b'kli, the way something would normally be placed in a kli, because this is about placing something in a kli. But according to the Rambam, why would the Rambam not say like Rashi? The Gemara says that the tzad to say that it's no good is hanacha b'tocho kitikno. It's about placing something. It doesn't sound at all like the Rambam. The Rambam's not talking about placing something. He's talking about taking something. Why would he not want to say like Rashi? So the Dvar Avraham writes that according to Rashi, we have another problem. because Kiddush Kometz Bikli corresponds, every part of a Korban Mincha corresponds to a Zevach in some way, to a Korban of a Behema in some way. The different Avodos of the Korban Mincha relate to the different Avodos of a Zevach. So Kiddush Kometz Bikli is Keneged Kabbalas Adam. That relates to catching the dam of the Behema in a Kli. By Kabbalas Adam, the Gemara is explicit in the Mesechah Zvachim Daf Chafheim Beis that as soon as the dam enters the Avir HaKli, even if it hasn't yet landed in the bottom of the Kli, as soon as it enters the Avir HaKli, the Kabbalah is done. And if therefore, after the dam enters the Avir HaKli, the bottom of the Kli falls out, let's say, and it just falls out from underneath it, it's considered as if the Kabbalah was already done, and the dam fell from inside the Kli, not straight from the Behema onto the floor. And there's enough Kamina we're going to see in today's Daf. If dam falls straight from the Behema onto the floor, it's possible. But dam that was caught in the Kli and then spills onto the floor, you could be Ma'aseh if you could gather it up and still use it. It's not possible. So the Gemara says, as soon as it goes into the Avir HaKli, it's considered to be a Kasher Kabbalah Sadam. So if that's the case, the placing of the Kamitza inside of the Kli is corresponds to the Kabbalah. So is there even a Shaila that if you push it on the side walls of the Kli that it's going to be okay? Of course it's going to be okay. Kabbalah said it only needs to get into the Avir HaKli. Why wouldn't it be okay? So it's that problem that led the Rambam to say that cannot be our Gemara's Shaila. Our Gemara has to be asking something else. So what else could it be asking? It must be asking about taking the Kamitza, not about placing the Kamitza. So what's Rashi going to say? It's an Afna Gemara in Masechus Zvachim. So Rashi is going to, they quote B'Shem the Briska Rav, that Rashi would say that when we say that Kabbalah Ba'avirakli helps, that's only in that it's not considered Begeder Nishbach. It's not considered to be spilled straight from the animal's neck. But in terms of the din Kabbalah, that it should be considered mekudesh bekli with a regular din Kabbalah, the full din of the avoda of Kabbalah, it doesn't accomplish Kabbalah. You would still need to do a Kabbalah. It would still need to go into the kli in order to have a Kabbalah. That's a separate din of nishbach, which may or may not apply over here. That's a sugya later on in today's daf. Or they say it's dafka by dam where there's a din Kabbalah that avirakli helps, but by Kemitza, it's not a din Kabbalah, it's a din of Nesina Bekli, so you need Hanacha Bekli Dafka. Maybe they're a little bit different in that regard, even though they relate to each other. This stage of Nesina Bekli relates to Kabbalah, but they're not exactly the same, because Kabbalah happens by itself. You just put the Kli there to catch it. By Kemitza, you actually have to place the Kometz in the Kli. So one could argue, yeah, if you're just putting the Kli there to catch it, so when it enters the Avir Kli, that's fine, because you don't have to, it's not about where you're placing it, it's about putting the Kli in the right place. So you put the Kli in the right place to catch it when it goes into the Avir Kli. But by the Kemitza, it's about the Nesina. So maybe it's not called Nesina unless you're Maniach B'Kli, unless you did an actual Hanacha into the Kli. That might be another way to defend Rashi. Okay, very interesting ways to defend Rashi. So says Mar Vaiter now. Now with Shaila, it's not asked by Rav Papa. A side Shaila. Boy Mar Baravashi. Let's assume with Rashi's pshat that we're talking about the placement of the kemitza into the kli. What if you turn the kli upside down and you put the kometz on the reverse side of the kli? Is that called that it's placed in the kli? Does that work? Do you need to place it inside the kli? And this is sort of inside the kli because the bottom of the kli has like a little dip. So you're placing it inside the bottom of the kli. Or do you need to place in a kli the way normal people place something in a kli, and that you don't have over here. So teku, the Gemara leaves this as a teku as well. So again, Rashi assumes we're talking about putting the kometz in the base kibul that's me'achorei akli, that a kli very often, like a wine bottle, has a the bottom. If you turn it upside down, there's a little base kibul on the bottom of it. So that's what we're talking about, where you would put something in that base kibul. Shidum Gvetzes quotes b'shem Rashi that you dibek es a kometz bekarka hakli mitocho, but the kli just happened to be upside down. So the way he understands it is that no, you're putting it in the normal spot in the kli where you would normally put things in, but it's just that the kli is upside down, so you're just sort of sticking it up against the bottom of the kli. The Rambam says the suffix is about the Maisa Kemitza. Again, the Rambam Lashitas, the Rambam Sulei Mukdashin at Aleph Chaf Hei, understands that this also is about the taking of the Kemitza in the first place. If it's done when the kli is upside down, is it a valid Maisa Kemitza, or is it not a valid Maisa Kemitza? a little bit difficult. V'dafke l'komets bar isa demana. How does the Rambam understand that exactly? It's a little bit difficult to understand what the Rambam is going to do with that expression. In the Gemara, Chazanish discusses it, but it's a very challenging to read the Rambam's Shita into our Gemara. Okay, by Rav Papa. Now back to Rav Papa's questions. So by Rav Papa, Rav Papa raised the following Shaila. Shaila number 5 of Rav Papa. Meloch chafnuf sha'amru mechukos o gedushos. When we said that the Kohen Gadol has to take meloch chafnuf, two hands full of ketores, how high heaping should those hands full be? Should it be spread evenly, that when he cups his hands, it doesn't go above the level of his hands? Or should it be a heaping pile of ketores well above the top of his hands? So Amalei Rabbi Abba L'Ravashi Tashema, we'll bring a raya. Melo chafnuf sha'amru lo mechukos v'lo gedushos el tzfufos. No, it shouldn't be exactly even where it doesn't go above the level of his hands, but it also shouldn't be heaping a giant amount of ketores. It should be somewhere in between a regular amount that's a little bit above the surface of his hands. It's interesting, by kmitza, what's the halacha? Everything we compare, but we constantly compare the ketores to the kmitza. So by kmitza, what's the halacha? Well, kmitza is completely contained in your hand, and if anything is sticking out, you have to rub it off. By kmitza, it's a davar pashut, that there can't be anything beyond the surface of one's hands. So why don't we say gzer shav melo melo, that if that's called melo komet, that's called a full kmitza, is without anything sticking above the surface of your hands, so that it should be the same thing by chafina as well. So the Tosfos HaRosh explains what we would expect is very similar to what Tosfos said on the bottom of Mem Zayin and Beis, that chafina and kmitza are two totally separate actions, they're two totally separate things. So maybe a melo komet is only the handful. A melo chafina is a totally different issue. It's that's the way, that's kidechafni inchi. That's the way people normally take heaping hands full, is when they do a chafina, is with it heaping a little bit. So that's the derech bnei adam. So therefore you can't ask such a kasha that we should learn melo from melo. Tanan asam. So now, to introduce the next shaila of Rav Papa, the Gemara has to fill us in on some halachos of what happens when dam from a karban spills on the floor of the Azarav. What happens if dam spills on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash? What can you do with that dam? Is the dam still kosher or is it not? So by way of introduction, the Gemara tells us, Tanan hasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Zvachim on Daf Chafhei that says as follows. Nishvach adam al ritzba v'asvo pasul. If the blood, instead of ever being caught in a kli, just goes straight from the animal's neck and falls straight onto the floor, and then you try to gather it up and you collect it, that dam is going to be pasul. You cannot use that for zrikas adam. Min hakli al ritzba v'asvo kasher. But if it fell from the kli that you caught it in, you caught the dam in a kli from the animal's neck, and then it spilled out of the kli, then you gather it up, that's going to be kosher, that's going to be fine. Minani mili, where do we learn that from? Ditan Rabban, the Brisa says as follows. V'lokach midam hapar. Pasuk says, v'lokach midam hapar. So we darshin, midam nefesh, v'lo midam or v'lo midam tamsis. It has to be the dam nefesh, that initial squirt of blood that the nefesh is yotzebo, that the animal dies with, not from other blood that just comes from the skin of the animal or that just drips out of the animal afterwards. Midam hapar, and here's the key, we learn from midam hapar, dam mei hapar yikablenu. You see how we're doing that, drasha? We're taking the mem from midam and we're shifting it over to the word hapar. So it's just moving a letter from one word to the other. So it's not midam hapar, it's dam mei hapar. That the blood has to, you have to be mekabel the dam straight from the par. So that's why it has to come. That's why if it goes on the floor first without ever being mekubal in a kli, it's not going to be good. Because if you want to darshan the word as midam, not dam mehapar, you want to darshan it the way it's written. So midam would imply some of, but not all of. Some of the dam that the nefesh is yotzebo, but not all of the dam that the nefesh is yotzebo. Not all of, and even midam means some of that's meaning that all you need is mixas dam. All you need is some of. You don't need all of the dam that the nefesh is yotzebo. Afilu mixas dam. V'amar Rav Yehuda mekabel tzorich shei kabelus kol dam ushal parsh. Number of es kol dam apar yishpochol yisalem mizbeach. But that can't be an accurate drasha, because we have another drasha that tells us the exact opposite, that you need to get all of the dam shanefesh yotze bo. So you can't darshan midam hapar as it's written, as midam, because midam would imply you don't need all of the dam, but we know you do need all of the dam. So rather, elishma minam, my midam hapar, dam mehapar yikablenu. So it must be that the proper way to darshan it is by moving over the mem. That it's not midam hapar, it's dam mehapar yikablenu. That a din in the Kabbalah is that you have to get the dam from the par. Vikasavar gorin mosifin vidarshin. And we assume that we are, that the way to, the accurate way to make this drasha is by being goreya, by removing one letter from one word, umosifin, and then adding it to another word, vidarshin, and then darshining it, ki'ilu is written that way. Tulsus raises the point that the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara in the 8th parak of Masech Sbab Basra, when the Gemara tries to darshan a pasuk by shifting around letters from one word to another, the Gemara says, sakina harifa demifsika lekrai. What, do you have some sort of special knife where you're allowed to cut up words and psukim and start moving letters around from one word to the other? Do you have a magical knife to be able to do such a thing? So the Gemara asks that over there, Tulsus says, because it's moving around several letters. But to move one letter to from one word to another is not so bad. That sort of magical knife we have. We just don't have the kind of knife that could chop up lots of words from different letters. So he says that's why it's an issue over there, but it's not an issue over here. Okay, a couple of things. The Gemara over here has, again, this is all a way of setting up the next Shaila of Rav Papa, but the Gemara had said that if the dam falls onto the ritzpa straight from the animal's neck and you try to gather it up, so it's going to be possible. But if it falls from the kli and you gather it up, it's kosher. So the Or Zeruah writes that the reason that, that once it's in the kli, if it spills, it's going to be kosher, is based on the principle of kol ha'omed li is ki. So we say over here, kol ha'omed li zarek is kezaruk dami. Once the dam is already omed li zarek, it's already ready for the zrika. When's it ready for the zrika? After the Kabbalah. So then it's kezaruk dami. It's as if it's already been nizrak. So once it's been niskabel, it's Mimele, it's going to be kosher. But if it spills before the Kabbalah, so it was never royal Lizrika, therefore it's not Kezaruk. So L'chora, that seems against our Gemara. That's how the Azru explains the Halacha, but our Gemara seems to assume in our Sugi that it's a din of Kiddush B'Kli Shares, that since you need it to be Niskadesh, so that's the Chilik, whether it's kosher or not. Because the whole issue is that we're setting up, what if it falls out of the Kohen Gadol's hands, the Ketores falls out of the Kohen Gadol's hands. Do we view the Kohen Gadol's hands as the kli or not? So what? Kala ome liz ki? That it's only when it's in the Kohen Gadol's hands, it's ome liz rika. There's no zrika. It's about the whole maisa of haktara. So what does it have to do with the zrika? So it doesn't seem to really fit perfectly to say it's kala ome li ki in terms of the arzarua. So that's just ha'ara that the achronim work on. So from the Lashon of the Gemara, it sounds that dafka, if it falls from the kli, we said it's kasher. The Lashon of the Gemara sounds like b'diavad, it's kasher. But there's no mitzvah la'osfa. There's no mitzvah to gather it up in order to make it, in order to dafka use that dam. That's what it sounds from Tosfos and Maseches Zvachim as well. However, Tosfos elsewhere sounds like it is a mitzvah la'osfa. There's Tosfos in the earlier part of Zvachim, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, Tosfos later on in Daf Lamed Daled and Beis. Sounds like there is a mitzvah la'osfa. So that's also a machlokas in the Rishonim over here, whether there would be a requirement to actually gather it up together and do the let's assume you caught some of it, meaning to gather up whatever spilled, assuming you still have something left. Yeah. So now all of this is to set up Rav Papa's next shaila. So by Rav Papa, nispazar ktoras mimlo chafnav mahu. What if the ktoras was scattered out of his mlo chafnav? It fell out of his mlo chafnav, out of his hands. What would the din be? Yado ketzaver behema dami upsula. Do we view his hands as the tzaver of the behema, like the neck of the animal? I mean, we always compare all the different parts of of a carbon mincha to a zavach. So over here we're comparing ketores to a zavach as well. Do we view the hands of the kohen like a tzavar behema, and therefore it's going to be like the blood that falls right out of the neck of the animal on the floor, and therefore it's pasul? Or maybe his hands take on the status of a klisharis, and therefore it's not going to be pasul. So says Gemara, take it, we leave it unresolved. Now Tosos over here, odilma klisharis dami v'lo psula, says Tosos, tamely, tifshon mitka maisele lefnai v'lefnim, bekaf, v'lo maisele bechafnav. Why don't we answer the shayla from the fact that we bring it in a ladle, we don't bring it in his hands. V'amalel mishum delo efshar, and we said before, the reason we bring it in a ladle without it in his hands is because it's impossible for him to bring it in his hands. Says Tosos, I have an idea. If you're allowed it, once it's in his hands, it's allowed to land on the floor, so there's a very simple etzah. Let him bring it in his hands, have the milchafna of ketores cupped in his two hands, have the shovel resting on top of the ketores. So what was the problem we said before? Why can't you do that? Because how is he going to get the shovel off of the ketores? With his teeth? That's not respectful. L'fnei melech pasur v'dam, you wouldn't do that. L'fnei melech pasur v'dam, of course you can't do that. So let's have a better idea. Slowly let the ketores fall out of your hands onto the floor, and then catch the shovel with your hands, move the shovel onto the floor with your hands, then pick up the ketores and burn the ketores on the coals on the shovel. If shouldn't we be poshet the shayla that way? That don't you see? If it was okay for the ketores to fall out of his hands, wouldn't that be a simple etza? So Tos says no, it would not be a simple etza. That would not be a smart idea because lav arachar elasos kein lechatchila. Even if you were to say that the ketores that falls out of his hands is still kosher, we would never suggest each and every year that that's the way the avodah should be done by letting something fall on the floor and spill on the floor. That's not the way you do avoda. And, you know, especially if Neimel Basar Vadam Enos in Kain, if Neimel Machayam Lachim, we certainly would be Enos in Kain, we certainly would be hesitant, would not be interested in doing that as a L'chadchila matter. So that's why we can't be poshed from there. Also interesting, Tos Yishanim on the side of the page over here says, in Spazra Ketores from Lochafna Mahu, Tema L'Rav Rabbi Elchanan, Midashavke L'Kometz V'Nakat Ketores, Mashma D'Bekometz Pshitalei. Why don't we ask the same question about kmitza? What if the kmitza, you took the kmitza and it fell out of your hands onto the floor? Is that considered that it fell out of the neck of the animal, so to speak, and therefore it's pasul? Or do we view that as if it fell out of a kli and therefore it's kosher? So it sounds like we don't have a shaila about that. So whatever we assume by kometz, we should assume the same thing by ketores, because we have the gzeir shav melo melo. V'omer Rabbi d'pshita d'gavi kometz havi ketzavar behema l'fi sheyesh dalar avodos b'mincha. He says, no. By the kmitza, it's obvious that it's going to be that it's going to be like it came out of the tzavra of the behema, because by carbon mincha, as we mentioned before, each of the steps of the carbon mincha corresponds to one of the steps of a zevach. So clearly, when it falls from the kmitza is like the shchita. So when it falls from the kmitza, it's like it fell straight from the tzavra behema. When you then place the kmitza in a klisharis, that's like the kabbalah. So it's as if it fell before the Kabbalah. But by Ketores, you don't really have Dalet Avodos that correspond to a Zavach. So that's why the Gemara only raises the Shaila by Ketores. There's a lot of lamdas in that, in the fact that a Karb Mincha relates so closely to a Zavach. You have to look very carefully where you learn Zavach and you learn Menachos about all the parallels between the Dalet Avodos of a Zavach and the Dalet Avodos of a Karb Mincha. My Chavrusi used to get very excited when we learn about these things. He was very into this, these kinds of sugyas. Me, not so much, but okay. So the shaila number 7 now of Rav Papa. By Rav Papa, chishev b'chafinas ketores mahu. What if a person has a machshava during the time that he's doing the chafinas ketores that he's going to be makterit the next day? He's going to be makterit the day after Yom Kippur. He has a machshava chutz l'zmano, a pasul machshava while he's doing the chafinas ketores. So what's the din? Is the pasul machshava pasul the whole thing? Mi amrino and yalef melo melo mi mincha. Do we say, well, we derive it from kabur mincha? Mahasa mahanya b'machshava hachanami mahanya b'machshava. Allah. Just like by the Karb Mincha, a Machshava Psula is going to ruin it. So over here also, a Machshava Psula is going to ruin it. Again, by the Karb Mincha, it's Dalet Avodos. We're dealing with the Machshava Psula during an Avoda. But over here, do we say the same thing, that it's that it should be like a regular Avoda? So he says, well, bring a raya from the following. Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshaned as follows: Hasolas vaktores, so ktores is on the list. That's the key over here, that it says ktores. Valavona vagechalim sheim naga tvul yom b'muktzas and pasalas kulan. You have a kli full of ktores. A tvul yom touches one end of the ktores. That pasals the whole thing because it's all viewed as one entity. As even though it's ground up finely, so you don't view it as if the tvul yom only touched those little kernels or whatever you call finely ground ktores, and he didn't touch the rest of it. It's all one entity. He apostles it all. Kasal kadaitach means apostle tvil yom, apostle namilina. So if a tvil yom can apostle the whole thing, it means that it was already mekudesh b'kli, that it's already considered a single unit that's all mekudesh b'kli. So you see that so the lina would also apostle it if it was already mekudesh b'kli. Umedelina pasla, apostle namilachshava. So if it's subject to the psul of lina, then it should also be subject to the psul of machshava. So this shayla, the Gemara answers. The Gemara wanted to know, is a apostle of machshava at the Chafina, is that going to ruin it? So the answer is yes, that it's considered ki'ilu is mekudesh b'kli, and that's going to, apostle machshava is going to ruin it. By Rav Papa raises the following shayla. Chishev, this is this final shayla. Chishev b'chatiyas kecholim mahu. What if a person had a machshava psula to while he was shoveling up the coals? Is that going to pasul or is it not going to pasul? Rashi has two possibilities of how to understand what the Gemara's shayla is about a machshava psula at the chatiyas kecholim. One possibility Rashi has is that the suffix is whether. Well, let's just see the whole shayla first. Machshire mitzvah kemitzvah damu alo. Is the machshire mitzvah, the shoveling of the coals, is that like the mitzvah itself, and therefore it's going to be problematic? A machshava psula is going to be problematic even when you're just shoveling the coals, which is only a machshire mitzvah, because the real mitzvah is the ktores. Remember, the coals are like the foreigner. The ktores are like the that's the citizen. The ktores is what it's really all about. So, do we say machshire mitzvah are like the mitzvah, or lo, or do we not say that it like the mitzvah? Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So, Rashi has two ways of understanding this. One is that do we say that the question is about the gechalim being the machshire ktores? So when you have a machshava that passels the chatiyas hagechalim, so should we say that it has the din of a mitzvah and therefore the avodas haktores is going to be passel as well with a bad machshava on the gechalim, so that's going to ruin the ktores as well? Or do you say no, machshirei mitzvah are not kimitzvah, and therefore even if you have a machshava b'chatiyas hagechalim, the ktores is not going to be pasul because the machshirei mitzvah were bad, but the ktores itself is still going to be kosher. The ktores is not going to become pasul through that machshava. That's one way of understanding the shayla. Second way Rashi understands the shayla is that the shayla is not about the ktores at all, whether the ktores become pasul. The suffix is on the gechalim themselves. Can you now use these gechalim? Do you need to reshovel? Are these gechalim okay, or could you have to take new gechalim in order to be maktir the ktores? So the Agudas Sezov just points out, according to the first Pshat and Rashi, it's very difficult to understand what the suffix is over here, because if the ktores becomes possible with the machshava or not, what's happening when? We already learned. They go take the shovel full of coals, he then goes and puts that down, and then they bring him out a shovel full of ktores and a ladle, and then he does a melo chafnav of ktores and he takes the ktores. So what? You're going to say the ktores becomes puzzle with the shoveling, with a poor machshava on the shoveling before you even identified your ktores? You haven't even taken the ktores yet. You haven't even identified which ktores you're taking. So a little bit difficult to understand what the shaila would be. Just the Seder Advarim, it doesn't work out. There is no ktores to pasul yet. It's going to become pasul the mafreya because you had a machshava at the time of the shoveling. A little bit more difficult to understand exactly why that would be the case. So the Gemara leaves it as a suffix. It's interesting, the Rambam paskins, chafinas ha-ktores and chatiyas ha-gechalim and Yom Kippur are called an avod, and they become pasul machshava. He puts them both in the same category. He says the chatiyas hagecholim is an avoda pasul. So the mefarshei Rambam are bothered. Why didn't he have a suffix about this? So the Gemara left it as a teku. Okay. By me name Rav Sheshes.
Rabbi Kiva mentioned gecholim as well in the brayso we have.
Yeah, but not the chatiyas hagecholim. Right. So he discussed about nugget full yom with mixas hagechalim, whether it's going to become pasul. Right. But he wasn't talking about a pasul machshava in the chatiyas hagechalim. So by me name Rav Sheshes halacha b'smol mahu. Generally, not about melo chafnav anymore. The kohen brings the blood of the carbon in his left hand. What's the din? Is that kind of avoda needs to be done with the right hand or not? So I'm Rav Sheshes tinisua natal samach to be imino v'zakaf b'smolo. So in our mission we learn the kohen gadol takes the shovel full of coals in his right hand and the ktores in his left hand. So you see that you can take the ikar to move something from one place to the other to carry it, even though it's the ikar of the whole karban, the whole lavoda, you're allowed to have it in the left hand. Well, why can't we be poshed the shaila from carrying the limbs of the karban tamid up to the mizbeach each and every day, where someone takes the regal shal yamin in his left hand and he carries that up? So shouldn't that also be a right that the left hand is okay? Says Gemara, no. He may hasam have a mina, and that's a better right because that's to the mizbeach. So that works better for dam. Says Gemara, he may hasam have a mina hani mili halacha de lo ma'ak v'kapara, aval halacha de ma'ak v'kapara lo kamash mlan. I would have thought that that's when you're being molech evarim. Evarim are not, the burning of the evarim is not ma'ak of the kapara. Only the dam is ma'ak of the kapara. But so I would think that you can't bring a right to that for the dam. But from the ketores is obviously ma'ak of the whole kapara. That is the whole ketores. So therefore, you can bring a raya from the Qataris, and that's why it's a good raya. Okay.